Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it's a bright sunny day in Tulsa, a great day for the Paula Price Show. Welcome, Dr. Price. How are you doing today?
I am fine. First of all, I'm excited that we have sunshine, considering the weather that we've had. And now I understand, while everybody else is freezing, you know, that we're getting good weather for the next week. Now, I don't know. We aren't going to be here because we're going to be in Chicagoland, but still, it's going to be great.
Yes, indeed it is. And I tell you what, my dad sent me some pictures from the East Coast. He's in Pennsylvania, and it is looking pretty thick under some snow over there.
Aren't we glad to, and you know, you are a Pennsylvania girl, so I know you're missing that, aren't you?
Not at all. Not at all.
You know, I'm like, I know I'm from Jersey, and I got to tell you, I am excited that God moved me to Oklahoma when it comes to wintertime. Now, I'm not too fond of Oklahoma in the summer. You know that. Because the heat drives me nuts, and you know how I am about heat. But at times like this, I can say thank you.
Thank you.
You know? You know, thank you for what you've done. And thank God for what he made happen. So I'm excited about the fact that it's going to be warm, but I really wish it would be warmer in our Illinois world.
But at least they are having a slight heat wave while we will be there, and it will be above negative temperatures.
Well, yeah, that's true. You know, I can tell you that's true. That's good. I can listen. I'll settle for what we can get. But I just thank God for what he's done. You know, but I am excited about talking about the Lord. You know, we've been having a blast on this journey about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when you go on the internet, you hear all of the people fussing about the Bible and fussing about the scriptures and, you know, this isn't right and that isn't right. And if you notice, we spend an inordinate amount of time, Ashley, and you've got to agree, on disproving scripture. Now, they're not trying to disprove any other book. Just disproving scripture. You know, you don't find too many websites that say, well, you know, I found 9,000 errors in the Quran or in the Vedics or in the whatever else. You don't see that. But you do see people on a real vengeful journey to discredit the scripture. And it just tickles me. I used to be so offended. So if you're like most of the people online, and most of the people in the body of Christ, you know, and your first knee-jerk reaction is that you're offended. Oh, my gosh, why? You know, look what they're doing to my Lord, what they're doing to my Savior. And yeah, those are pretty normal. You know, that's pretty normal for people to feel that way. But I have found since then that there is, ridiculous confirmation in the wide-scale global assault on Christianity. I feel like a global assault on anything is a true confirmation of fear and threat. But it also says that it's valid. There's a validity to this thing that doesn't die. And so my journey, my task, I'll say task. Task is a better thing. My task as God's apostle, as his spokesperson, is to help the body of Christ see how great they are. Somebody needs to tell us that we are a great thing. And if you've been listening to me 3 weeks back, before last week, you have been on a journey with me as we walk through what makes Christianity great, what makes us who are the saved of God great, what makes us powerful, why are we a threat, what is it about the name of Jesus that strikes terror in the heart of nations. You think about it. Nobody's terrified of any other name, but you say Jesus, and oh, my God, there's a whole other thing that comes up out of people's eyes, out of their face, out of their mouth that is astounding. And you say, but wait a minute, it's just Jesus. You know, even some of his own saints, you know, they get upset about Christianity. Now, they'll tell you when you kind of nail them to a wall a little bit on it, they'll say, well, I really feel that way about all religions. Yeah, but you didn't name them all. You named Jesus Christ. You named Christians. And if nothing else taught me in this world that he is the one, that is what taught me. I feel like if you got to fight him that much, you got to cut up that much. Do you realize, and I put it on my Facebook, a few of you all got it, not a whole lot, but a few of you all got it, when you realize billions of dollars have been spent, maybe over the last 50 years, 70, whatever, trying to prove to us that Jesus Christ isn't what he is. He's not what he, all that. Christians are not all that. And that it's all a farce. Now, you're not trying to tell us any other religion is a farce, just Christianity. Now, I would say to you, family, because you know we talk family, we are family. And so I would say to you today, family, do you need any better confirmation that you chose the right God, that you're walking in the right faith? I mean, for you to be the one single thing that is upsets the creation, upsets systems, upsets governments, nothing else does. Now, that's a crazy thing. You know, I mean, even to come all the way over here to a land that Jesus Christ himself founded. I know people want to tell you that it isn't, but you can tell that Jesus Christ founded America. That's what they're trying to get rid of. I mean, you always try to get rid of what the foundation is. Nobody's trying to get rid of anything else. So we obviously started out a Christian nation, and we're trying to prove that we are not. So that's already powerful. But we'll leave that for the future. My job as God's apostle is to witness Jesus Christ, that he lives, that he is. My job is to witness his word, to witness his truth. I'm clear on that. And can I just tell you, I love my job, and I love my boss. He is an amazing God. He's an amazing man. And so I want to talk a little bit about it. We talked a little somewhat back about what makes Christians what they are, the you know, our divine gene pool. We talked about being God's, moving from God's technology to becoming and grafted in his genealogy. Guys, I don't know about you. It just doesn't get any better than that. It just doesn't. We can talk. They can talk to me all day long about, and people have. They can talk to me all day long about, you know, that's what you say. Nope, Jesus is around the world, and he's been around the world. We act like Jesus started in America. He didn't. He started overseas. You remember, he started in Jerusalem. He moved to Africa through Candace and the Ethiopian. He moved over there to all of those other nations, you know, over to the Persians and all that. He was there. America is the end of his journey because he's now going back east. That's why you see there's such a move of God in those regions again, because Jesus Christ trekked himself across the country. He said, I'm going into all the world, and bless God, he went into all the world. I have talked to people in nations where they say, well, what do you do when there's no evangelist or when there's no preacher or nobody's talking to Jesus? I've talked to people who said the man Jesus himself showed up and got them saved because God said through his son that he's not losing anything. Jesus said, of all that he has given to me, I shall lose nothing. God is not leaving this on us as human beings. He know we die, we get old, we get sick, we have bad days, we marry the wrong people, pull us out of ministry, pull us out of church, we have kids that drive us nuts. I mean, there's a whole lot of reasons why Jesus is not leaving this on us. And we'll talk about those down in the future. But I want to say to you that God himself sent his son. They can tell me all day, I don't know about the Virgin, I don't know how to believe it. My point is, if you don't believe it, if you don't think it ever happened, why are we discussing it? Because when I don't believe something is so, it doesn't cross my mind. It doesn't break a brain cell in my head. Not one. If you go so far as to mention it, then it's something happened. It's real. You go so far to say it, something happened. So I'm in the middle of writing a book, I'm telling you. I'm in the middle of finishing a book that is going to blow your mind. It is a very extraordinary book, and it's going to deal with a lot of this. So what you're getting are little nuggets, little peeks into this book that I am writing. And so I want to talk to you about it. You know, I've taught in the past that Jesus Christ, according to the Great Commission, he lets us know subtly, because how many of you know there's a lot of subtlety in God? And so he lets us know subtly that he came back in time to get us. The Bible says that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So us getting born again to be grafted into God's genealogy, hey, that's a foregone conclusion. That's where we began. You know, God said he put us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Guys, get excited. He put us in Christ. We lived his life in eternity as a child lives their life in their mom and dad. We lived with him in his world, and God preserved us by his spirit. Our spirits never got lost because God banked us in Christ. Jesus Christ is the vault of the new creation, just like you, Dad, are the vault of your family's generation, and you, Mom, are the vault of your family's generation. We walk around every day as human beings stocked with the future, stocked with the males and females of the next generation. I mean, think about this. This guy is amazing. God creates. He creates an entire, he creates one man and one woman and then stocks creation. He makes each and every person a literal vault of the next generation. That is where your reproductive parts are, and that is why reproduction comes under assault. We are part of what God planned for the future. So I would say to you that Jesus comes back in time. According to Galatians 4:4, it says that when the fullness of time came, God sent his son. That means that his son always existed. And if you read Daniel 7, you see Jesus was the Son of Man in eternity. He didn't just become the Son of Man on earth. Part of where we're stuck, and I've taught this, if you all want to get more information on it, I have several courses on my brand new online school that Prophet Ashley is going to tell you about, where we're loading up courses for you. Mentioned it before, but I have something called the Jesus Classes. If you want to find out, listen, this is powerful. If you want to find out how to defend your faith, who Jesus is, how he came to be, and you want to find out more about Jesus Christ than the 3.5 years that he spent in ministry on earth in Scripture, you need to get my Jesus Classes. I'm telling you, we must have done them a couple of years ago. I'm not quite sure how long ago, but they are powerful. Now, here's what's interesting. Because you've heard the name of Jesus preached so much and said so much, it's been bandied about here and there, you think you know this man's life. But the Jesus Classes tells you what Jesus did before he became flesh and what his life was before he came to earth. It is a powerful teaching, and if you want to know this man and you want to know why your faith is the superior faith, I don't have a problem saying it. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm disparaging anybody else. I think that, you know, when Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come, he meant whosoever will, let him come. But you need to understand that you were hidden in Christ before the foundation of the world. God, you have always been God's secret. Everything about your life has been secret. So I'm going to read that, and I want you to see where you're hidden in Christ before the foundation of the world. Your salvation was not a happenstance. God didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, look who got through. You were always part of the heaven's eternal treasures. And that is why there's so much effort to make you feel like trash as a Christian. There's a real campaign to make you feel like garbage. And what people are stunned about with me is you cannot make me feel like garbage. Are you kidding? This thing is really good. It's some awesome stuff. I love it. And I'm telling you, I don't walk around telling you I'm a dirty sinner. I'm a dirty Christian. I'm a dirty sinner, saved from sin and all of that. I am not. I work hard at being a mega Christian. I'm going to be a super Christian. I'm going to have some good days at it. I'm going to have some bad days at it. I'm going to have some days that I probably should have just left the Lord alone. But guess what? I'm always going to be a Christian. I'm always going to be filled with the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I'm always going to show God off. I'm going to showcase this man to the day I leave the planet, because when you know the story, you step up. You're going to stop talking about, well, we're really sinners in disguise. I am not a disguised sinner. I'm for real. I am a good saint because I work at being a good saint. The only way I'm going to be a good sinner is that I work at it. And I'm a good saint. And some of you out there are very good at Christianity, and you're letting people bluff you out of it. And you're letting them talk you out of being a good Christian, because that's not popular. And nobody upset about who Jesus is and what he did but those who tried to destroy him from the planet. So now they want to wipe you out. So listen, Galatians 4:4, for when the appropriate time had come, God sent his son, born by a woman, born under the law. In verse 5, in order to redeem those who were under the law and thus adopt them as children. That is powerful. You know, sometimes you have to hear those verses taken out of context because, you know, you read your Bible and the print is small and, you know, you got the verses, you've got the colons, you don't even know what all of that is about. And it gets kind of cluttered, a little mumbled, a little jumbled, which is why you need teachers. Many of you are teachers in the kingdom. You know, our assessment does that. And I've noticed in our assessment, the majority of God that God is raising up today are teachers, people who are going to go and teach folks his truth and teach people what was on his mind when he did what he did. But the Bible said that God hid us in Christ. I mean, can you imagine? That's a secret weapon. Hid us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And you need to know that God hid you. You are not a mistake. You are not a happenstance. You are God's secret. God, and so he writes this. I love this. Paul got it. He was an apostle. He got it. And I want you to get it. And then we're going to talk about why Jesus came when he did. Like, why didn't Jesus come now? Wouldn't you like to know why didn't the man come now? I mean, it certainly would have been easier. But the question is, would it have been easier? Would it have been easier for Jesus to come now? So why did he come when he did? Well, let's first look at that. It says, I love this, Ephesians 3:9. One of my most favorite books of the Bible is Ephesians. But look at this, Ephesians 3. Now, I'm going to start at 3:8. Paul understood what it was, and we're here telling God's story, and God's story is not just on print. God's story is you. You are God's story. You are God's success story. And if you're taking notes today, I want you to write this down. I want you to never forget, I am God's success story. You are not his failure. You are his success story. God pulled off something that nobody ever thought he could. He pulled off the most amazing coup ever in all creation. Can you imagine after Eden, all of creation is sitting there saying, oh, my, Most High, you blew it. Oh, God, it's lost. Look, the man ate from the tree. He sold us out. Now we have lost all of the seed that you put in him. I don't even know what you're going to do. You know, everybody wanted God to pack it in. It's over. And the Lord said, no. Now we're in play. Now the game begins. And that's what he's thinking. Now the games begin, and he's excited. And he said, oh, no, you think I lost. And he goes into a secret that you didn't even realize was at work. And so Paul writes in Ephesians 3:8, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given so that I might proclaim to the Gentiles the immeasurable wealth of the Messiah. And help everyone see how this secret that has been hidden, that has been at work, was hidden for ages by God who created all things. I want you to know that's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. And I like this one. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. And my last one, this is where it gets good. Remember I said, now you remember I told you, when Eden happened, all heaven was like, oh, God, we just lost it all. You just did all of this. You made this. You've made this planet. You put everything in this man's hands. Come on, don't tell me it's gone with one action. One action, it looks like God failed it. But I want to say again to you, you are God's success story because you are a sign of his mastery over everything, including sin and death. You, every day you get up, every day you call on the name of Jesus, every day you pray, every time you come back from a crisis, every time you come back from a fall, every time you come back, you show forth the mastery of the Almighty that hell can't destroy him. That's why you want to get those Jesus classes, because those Jesus classes tell you the secret that you have not heard. See, this might have been known to the people in the 18th century. 19th century, they may have had it, and got, you know, by the time we got to the 19th century, it was boring. But I want you to know, you who have come online in our generation, you have no idea of the superiority that went into making you who you are. There's a superiority that is at work with you that shows God's supremacy over all the works of his hand. You are not a mistake. You are his success story. Don't you ever let anybody tell you anything different. But let me get back, because you know I'm excited. I'm up there. Look at what it says. The first thing Ephesians 3:9 says, and to make all or everybody see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world was hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, they can say all day long, who knows whether he came or whether he didn't. If you don't think he came, why are you mentioning him? Obviously, he can't. There are whole billions and billions of people who've been around since before, from A.D. 5, A.D. 6, all the way down to here, who already know this man, that we're still talking about him. You're still putting a lot of effort into stamping out something that never was. That's a lot of effort to put on a mirage and an illusion. So I'm thinking there's got to be something in there. Now, and it says here, verse Ephesians 3:10, here's where it gets good. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. I want to read that in another translation. I've got a bunch of them here, but I like to read them all so we can get it. But look at this. This is powerful. I want to go from 3:9 to 3:11. Work with me because this is what changed my mind. I got saved and thought, oh, God, this is the most boring thing I've ever seen in my life. I told God, if this is it, write me off, I'm out, because this is boring. And he took me in his word, and he said, let me just walk you through my story. Now, you've heard the edits, the cliff notes, and I want you to hear my story. And so he says again in Ephesians 3:9, and help everyone see how this secret that has been at work was hidden for ages by God who created all things. He did this so that now, through the church, the wisdom of God in all of its variety may be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm, in keeping with the eternal purpose that God carried out through Messiah Jesus our Lord. You realize that is powerful. So let's look at 3:10. In 3:10, while we go back to Eden, oh, my God, we've lost it. Adam is out. Eve is out. God's got to slaughter the first creature in creation. He's got to slaughter this first creature, which obviously we learn no later was a lamb. And he has to, kill this thing so he can clothe his people, you know, because fig leaves weren't doing it. He's like, you have no idea. You just changed creation. You think all you did was eat a piece of fruit to keep your wife happy. But I want to tell you something. You just altered your entire existence, and you altered everything that I did and made it hostile to you. The first thing God said was the ground is not going to like you any longer, so you're not going to eat really good from the ground. It's going to be very hard. You're going to go to bed tired. This is a man who never saw fatigue. Now he's fatigued. Never saw weariness, never saw pain. And now he has to feel what he's never felt. And so God has to cover them because now the elements are no longer his friend. The elements are hostile against you because you let in this hostile force. So it looks like all is lost. And, I mean, God really hated the moment. He said it. He said it bothered him. But the plan was in play. And do you know what the plan was? Adam did not just hold you and me. Here's the secret. This, you know, because people say, well, why didn't he just kill Adam? Why didn't he just start over again? He could just scrap him. Because God also had the genetic line of his son. He had David. He had Abraham. He had Israel. You see, he had a whole lot of folks in there that were already in that. Because I told you, the vault was the sperm bank of humanity. So God had all of that. That's the vault of the future. You know, you wipe out reproduction. You don't have to worry about the future. You know, you don't have to worry about what we're going to do tomorrow because everybody's going to die out and it'll be over. So here's God. He hides everything. He had already planned to get us into the planet. So we're in Christ. The loss was way too great. So he was like, I'm going to have to work this out now because he's done this. So now we're instead of coming through righteousness as a superpower, he's going to have to come through as a slave to the God he just cut covenant with. But don't worry because I got a plan. And I want you to know today, God succeeded in his plan. The fact that we've got a church succeeded in this plan. The fact that people are talking about Christianity, trying to stamp it out, the fact that it is the only religion that took the world, see, because he took the whole world. That's why he raised up Paul as an apostle to the Gentiles, because the goal was to get everything back that was lost in the garden. And for those of you who are teaching that God wants to get us back to the garden, I don't mean to be unpleasant and unkind, but that wasn't God's goal, because in the garden, Adam was mortal. But God wanted us to be born again by the eternal spirit of Jesus Christ, because he needed to get us beyond the garden back to the throne, back to where Jesus is. You are a powerful being. And when you're trained and when we can get this teaching in you and we can get this wisdom in you, we can get this knowledge going in you, I'm telling you, God's going to unearth the majestic son and daughter that he made in you. That is what he's talking about. Right now, all of this stuff is on you. You know, you got world issues, you got insecurity and timidity and all those kinds of things that work to make you feel horrible about who you are. Makes you feel like trash every day. But the reason you came to Christ was not to run around the church, spit forth, and fall on the floor. It was to manifest a superpower that God always had in mind. And you are a secret power in the kingdom. Now, we may not ever see it the way we want to see it in this life, but my Bible says God is coming back for a thousand-year reign with 10,000 of his saints, and you and I are it. And he is going to set up, and you need to rest assured, God is not coming back for a feeble nothing. You are a secret mystery. That's why you are a mystery, and you are hidden in God. God did not kill Adam because Adam carried you, and he wasn't losing you. And he already had the plan. I'll just work it out. And when you want to get the rest of this story, because obviously we can't teach it all here, when I teach salvation classes, people rarely fail to come to the altar. Because who doesn't want to find out what you really are? Who wants to find out that in that dead rock there's this gold nugget? And this golden nugget is not just dead gold, but it is living. There is light and power in it. You are an electrified trophy for God. So God's having fun with you. And if those of you who join me every week, if we stay on this journey and God keeps, I'm going to keep showing you what makes you awesome. You are awesome. Now, you may not be behaving awesomely. We can work with that. You may not think yourself awesome. That's okay. We'll work with that. You may try to align yourself with that which you're supposed to, bring into it. That's fine. But understand, it doesn't make a difference if a top singer never opens their voice to hit a note. As long as you are alive, that awesome voice is still in you. Now, if you want to silence it, that's all right. That's your choice. But it doesn't make you any less of an awesome singer. An awesome surgeon is no less an awesome surgeon just because they're not doing business in the operating room. So I need you to recognize the awesomeness of God is in you, even if you have never discovered it or tapped into it. And that's what we do as apostles and prophets. We're here to point that out and to dig that up in you and to bring you into that fullness because we are powerful folk. I don't care what they tell you. I don't care how they say it. We are so powerful that billions of dollars and millions of people sit around the table and strategize about how to take us out and do us in every day. Now, that's an awesome thing. Why? Because we are not born on earth. You know, before they said born again, it was born from above. You know, that's what Jesus' message was. Oh, no, we were born from above. God sent his son and sent him. He didn't send a guy that didn't exist. And it's all we know it is 3.5 years. That's what makes us think Jesus can't pull it off. That's what makes us think he's this mortal guy that can't do it, because we are separating the eternal Christ, the eternal Messiah, who has a whole life and a career and a track record and a resume that blows creation out the water, and he brought himself down to a sperm to bring us into existence so that we can go back to God with him. This is a powerful story. Talk about, do we have, is there life outside the planet? Jesus, he came from above. He's the first alien. Come on, he's a real alien. Can't say he was the first one because, you know, he had others. Yeah, I guess he was. But this man, you're talking about aliens. Come on, we don't have to. And I've not seen an angel look like the aliens that they try to tell us. So we don't, these little bald head, pointed head, kind of some strange looking, you know, stick figure things. That's not God. God's got a whole world because earth is in God. God is not just in earth. Earth is in us. In other words, our whole realm is in God's world. And so he surrounds us. We don't surround him. And I'm telling you, guys, when you take that course, everybody, take that course. If you're an apostle and you want to get your apostle's message, your commission message, take that course. If you're a prophet and you want to deliver the word of the Lord so you can set the captive, take that course. I have, you know, I hardly mandate things like this because I feel like, hey, whosoever will. But I'm telling you, there is somebody listening to me today who's saying, I've got to get to the truth. It's got to be more to God than this. Jesus has got to have more to say than those 3.5 years of edited text that we get. And stop trying to defend why the Bible is the way it is. Trust me, John said that if he left everything God ever did in those 3.5 years, we don't even want to talk about everything else. But if everything that God ever did made a book, it would be a library in itself. We would just have we wouldn't call it the public library. We just call it the Bible. And when we walked in the door, because it would fill the rooms. This man is awesome. And you know how I know it? Because look at how many people have written books about this man. How many people are writing about the Holy Spirit from the time Jesus poured out his Spirit on Pentecost to today? The world is filled with published and non-published works. This guy is not finished. He is an amazing guy. He's an amazing king. And he did not begin when he got in the womb. Jesus lived forever. And I would love to tell you more about it, but we're running out of time today. But I need you to take that course. And then I need you to pray for me as I finish this book, because this thing is going to blow the lid off of it. I promise you it will, because this is 30 years of feasting with this man, sitting at his table, sitting in his classes, being corrected, I mean truly corrected, chastised, etc., by him, that I can sit here and tell you, you know, I don't have to just stand up and say, I know my Redeemer lives because he lives in my soul. I can show you fact for fact for fact for fact. When they talk about, I don't know if Jesus really lived, you don't know if anybody lived in the BC world. Everything was taken by faith. So come on here, let's act like we don't know. We have to take it by faith that whatever they told us is Lincoln is Lincoln, and that whatever they told us is Washington is Washington. Until we started having, you know, technology and whatever, we had to go on records written by human beings. When people tell you the Bible is written by humans, don't get caught up in that. So is your paycheck, and you still go to the bank. Nobody said, I'm not going to cash this check because it was written by man. Half of you, you all got degrees written by humans. You've got degrees on books written by humans, and nobody's saying there's anything wrong with that. You see, because Satan has so programmed you to have a knee-jerk reaction based on your insecurity and your intimidation and your inferiority, that you don't realize that he's not telling you anything that's news. There's nothing. There's no news. Everything's done by man. Because if, even though God did it, what human is going to see it? You know, Jesus has been in and out of the planet a lot. And the scripture shows all of the times Jesus showed up in this planet. Who knew he was Jesus? He had to come in through the door. And the door was a legitimate birthright. And so we're going to deal with that. This is what I am. I'm telling you, I'm committed to this. I'm committed to, you're not going to make me feel like what I'm believing and this thing changed the whole world. You're going to make me feel like I fell out. No. This is a good thing. And we are a powerful people. And we are an awesome family. God thought so much of you that he put you in the genealogy of the Godhead. And I want you to know that thing is powerful. And I'm going to close on this thought. And then, Ashley, I'm going to let you drop your nuggets because I know you got some. But I'm going to close on this. But I want you to know that thing is powerful. What God did with you and me, oh, no. Nobody's ever going to make me feel bad about being a Christian. And I'm good at it. And they told me, well, I just think that's fine. Call it whatever it is. I got a lot of pride in God. I tell Jesus all the time, I am proud of you. I'm in my bed 3 o'clock in the morning going, you know what, Jesus? But I'm proud of you because you pulled this thing off. You'd be awesome. I don't need to stand on a platform for everybody to hear how wonderfully proud of him I am. I am so proud of God, it is crazy. So if I got pride, you better know it's in him. I am proud of this man. Somebody who can pull this thing off, not give up on us, not punk out. He done had world disasters, etc. Had it. And we're going to talk because I'm telling you, I've got this thing to the point that it's in my gut. We're going to talk about the bad times and bad things and good people. We'll talk about that too. But understand, none of that stops the fact that we're here. You know, just because you lost 5 people on the day your kid was born does not make your kid invalid. Just because the day your child was born, something else blew up does not invalidate the fact that you brought something wonderful in the planet. We're going to change perspective. People have been prophesying that we're going to have a paradigm shift. We're going to shift that paradigm starting with the Lord Jesus Christ. This man is awesome, and he is worthy of all our praise because he doesn't give up. He's a fighter. He's a warrior. He is a defender of his faith. He's loyal. He's devoted. Come on. This guy is amazing. And the only thing, the only person that has a problem with his amazement is the person he defeated. Just like, come on here, not a lot of defeated folks are celebrating the champion. So we shouldn't surprise us that Jesus' adversaries can't celebrate him because he is the champion. He's the one. Now I'm going to read this last little bit, and then we're going to go to our advisements. We're going to talk to our prophet, Adia, who is out there, going to tell us what's going on in PPM Global World and the world of the Paula Price Show. But I want you to see this. This thing is powerful. And this is 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these, that is by the exceedingly great and precious promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. I'm telling you, that thing is powerful. Because it says, starting above it, according to his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, how through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We have been taught that everything about God is about morality. Everything about God is whether or not we commit sin, think sin, or feel sin. Trust me, sin is more than just morality. It's more than lust. It's more than sleeping around. Sin is also not living up to who you are, and sin is a strata of existence that causes you to waste your divine inheritance. Sin is not just the deed, it's a strata. It's a realm, and living in that realm is what robs you of who you are. It's not just a matter of, oh, Lord, I told a lie. Oh, God, I did. No. It is not being who you were born to be. Sin is slumming beneath the Godhead. That's what it is. Because it's not a matter of that whether or not you, I don't know, I feel we can do this and I can do that. Yeah, it's just certain things along a certain strata. And so when you operate on that strata, then you have to live according to the rules and laws of that strata. When you operate on your divine nature, you're operating on a different strata, and that one is a dominating strata. So if you're a person who wants to live in a dominating strata, then you're not going to do a lot of things. It's not a matter of you, Paul said, I can do anything I want, but it's not expedient. Why? Because I am a superior being. I don't need that. See, I don't have those appetites. They don't serve me. I'm here now to be part of God's solution, and not to continue wallowing in his issues and his problems. So that's a whole different thing. When people start to say, you're religious, I don't have a religion, but what I do have is a redeemer. And my redeemer's character and personality, his nature is what I carry. He literally converted me to him genetically as well as redemptively and as well as ecclesially as part of his church. I am not afraid of sin. I just want to tell you right now, it's a strata. I don't live there. That's not where I live. So none of that speaks to me. It's kind of like you used to live in one neighborhood, you now live in another neighborhood. You don't want everybody in that neighborhood to die. Matter of fact, God want to get everybody out. But here's what I want you to know. I don't live there. So there's nothing there that appeals to me. Why? Because I'm an upgraded version. I'm of the species that doesn't need that any longer. And you have been born again to become of a species that doesn't need that any longer. And when you allow God's spirit to do the work, some of us it takes 5 years, some of us it takes 5 minutes, some of us it takes 50 years. We get there. And we do get there. But I don't live in that strata. That's why Paul said that thing no longer holds me, because I've been elevated from that strata. And so I don't have to do that. I don't have to talk that stuff and chase that stuff, because I'm above that. We sit in heavenly places. Now, I'm above it? Yeah, I am. So that means, so you think you're too good? Yeah, I'm too good to live in that strata. I'm not too good to come and get you if you want to get out. I don't mind it. There's a reason why the police officers are not allowed to slum with the rest of the folk, because they're in another strata, and they're the strata of the solution. They're the problem solvers, not the problem perpetuators. And that's what God wants you to think. Think differently. Because we're always in God, in Christ, in hell, in sin, it doesn't matter. You have to decide whether you're going to be part of the problem or part of the solution. I decree that I'm part of the solution, and I'm going to be partner with the Holy Ghost to get his family where he needs to be. Hallelujah. So Ashley, I went on. Did you see I got hot, girl?
My. Well, you know, Jesus Christ does always turn up your temperature.
He's my honey man.
I said, oh, boy. No, I like you. You know, I'm writing a book and it's going to blow your mind. I'm thinking pretty much all your books blow my mind on some level. So I can't wait myself to get my hands on this new one that's coming out.
Yes, it is. I'm getting it done. I mean, I'm, you know, right now we're looking at trying to finish it up. You know how it is. But, Ash, don't you think they need the Jesus classes?
Don't I what?
Don't you think they need the Jesus classes?
Oh, yes. Well, what I love even about the Jesus classes, when you first taught them, it was like, you know, we need to come up with this slick, cool name and all this other drama. And in the end, they just remained the Jesus classes because they're about Jesus, and anything else might confuse the issue.
I know it. But it's Jesus. I mean, it's all about what he did and how he lived before he incarnated, and then what it meant for him to incarnate, and then how he got back to where he was before he came to earth. That's important because that's why we can't love on this man. That's why people think Jesus is like, oh, no, well, he's all right. You know, I kind of want this one. You know, most of the people want killer gods. You know, like we want those killer gods. You know, that's why we want the martial arts gods and we want the witchcraft gods and we want the vampire gods because most people are programmed to want a killer god.
Wow.
They don't want a redeeming god.
Hmm.
And the sad part about it is, the reason the killer gods exist is because God killed them.
Well, look at what Jesus faced when he came in the flesh. They were like, hey, you going to take him down? You going to take the throne and destroy what's there? No. Oh, how disappointing.
Oh, all you going to do is say so. Wow. All you going to do is... Well, you know, Ashley, this is kind of like our supper table chat. You know, we like to do these kind of chats. But I'm telling you, people have got to stop. God's got to deliver them from their appetite for killer gods. Because, see, all of the Greek gods are all about killing. All of those kind of things, those pantheonic deities, they're all about slaughter, all about killing. And the people don't want to hear about any god that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son and that he killed his son. You can't say God didn't kill anybody else. He killed Jesus. But the reason killer gods exist is because the Most High God killed them. And when you get the Jesus classes, it's going to show you how he did it. So, anyway, come on, Ashley. I'll let you finish your nuggets, and then we'll go to Prophet Adia.
Oh, my head is actually spinning right now. I think you said some things. Jesus Christ is the vault of the new creation. Powerful statement. Connecting that with, like you said, the men carry the genetics of the family tree in them. And how Jesus Christ really is that progenitor, and he carries it within himself. Just some nuggets to think about. I mean, the killer God thing you just said, we are secret mysteries, which I know is true because sometimes the hardest person we can figure out is ourselves. Praise the Lord. And when you Jesus wanted to get us beyond the garden and back to the throne and how so many things are about going back. Do you think that so many people, because maybe they hit a stuck point in their revelation, always want to go backwards because they can't really see how we're going forward, or that eternity predates all this, so, you know, we're not stuck in time?
So you can preach it a little bit to yourself, huh?
Yeah. I was just wondering. If because you, when God starts stirring people up, typically we're always going back. We're going back to the garden. We're going back to the tabernacle, back to David. And is it because some people just kind of run out of road as far as the future in Christ because they're not sure, so we go backwards?
That's a good question. But you know why people go backwards is that, you know, and here's why. You want to know really why they go backwards, Ashley?
Yes.
You're going to love it. Because they think Jesus' life began when he incarnated, or they think that God's work with the earth began with Israel. Like, you don't see anybody trying to go back to Abraham. Anybody trying to go back to Abraham other than Abraham had some children. Why? Because Abraham had directly. He did not have a bunch of kids like that. He had Isaac, and then he had Ishmael, he had Isaac, and then he had Keturah's boys. Six of them. But we're not trying to go back because we can't nail that, because all God told Abraham was to have some faith and do some circumcision. But we think that God's dealings with the earth began with the law of Moses, and it didn't. It didn't. It began in Jesus's, when God says to Abraham in Genesis 3, you know, that woman is going to catch a seed. She's going to get a seed. Now, that's when God began to deal redemptively. Creatively, we know he began, he said, let us make man. And so because of that, we don't, like you said, we don't know what eternity is like because we haven't even discerned it in Scripture. But it's in Scripture for a reason. It's in Scripture because the prophets of old and the apostles of old captured the story. And so, yeah, you're right. They ran out of road, and so we don't know where to go. You know, it's kind of like that dead end. Do we go left or right, or do we go back?
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Well, do we have our beloved prophet on the line? You think she has a few things to say?
Oh, I know she does. Prophet Adia, what's on the wire?
My Lord. Can I just say, so y'all don't give me a chance to say, my Lord. My Lord. I just have to say that. My quote, Dr. Price, right now is, sin is not just about immorality. It is also about not living up to who you are, plumbing it beneath the Godhead. Well, Doctor, I think that you just coined something new in my life. I am not going to slum it beneath the Godhead. So I have to say all amen to that right now. Woo! Well, hallelujah. We want to thank you guys for joining us on the Paula Price Show this afternoon. Here's how you can connect with Dr. Price all week long. We want you to visit us at www.drpaulaprice.com. And if you are not already on our email list, what are you waiting for? Click Add Me right there on the homepage. We'll make sure that we get you on our email list so we can keep you up to speed on everything Dr. Paula Price, where she'll be traveling next, what new products and releases she has out. If you want to be the first to know when her new book comes out, then you want to make sure that you join our email list so we can keep you in the know. Some new products that just came down on the wire this week. All about love, y'all. All right, Dr. Price has a new message out called The Love Con. She also has a message out called How Real Is Your Love? So you want to make sure that you go on to drpaulaprice.com and click shop for products so you can catch all the new things that she's got going on. You can put The Love Con in the search bar and pull that up. If you're a part of our email list, just click in your emails on the pick of the week, which came out yesterday, so that you can get connected with those new products. We also have a free download this week only. It's called Love is Supernatural. If you want to get that boost of empowerment, just even get that shot in the arm that you can do the things that God has called you to do, I promise you, you will not regret getting the free download for it. Love is Supernatural. So make sure you go to drpaulaprice.com and click Shop for Products so you can get all the new picks of this week. Now, we want to make sure that you follow Dr. Price on Facebook.com. If you're a Facebooker, you want to make sure that you click like under Dr. Paula Price on Facebook.com. If you are a tweeter, then follow Dr. Price on Twitter. That's twitter.com, and you want to look her up under the handle at Dr. Paula Price. For our LinkedIn brothers and sisters, we have not forgot about you. Dr. Price is on LinkedIn as well. She also has a group on LinkedIn that you can join. You just want to look her up at linkedin.com, and you want to type in Dr. Paula Price so that you can stay connected with all that she has on the business end. For those of you who might not know, Dr. Price has her own company. It is PPM Global Resources, all about how she started that, her assessments, her things for organizations and leaders, all of that. You want to check into LinkedIn.com so you can stay connected. You can also follow her company page on Facebook, and that's PPM Global Resources, Dr. Paula Price, so that you can find out what new things she has going on, what's going on with her assessments, her leadership tools, her business tools, and all of those success tips you want to find on that company page. Also, last but certainly not least, we have a new class online this entire month. It's called Building Your Commission team. You want to make sure, this is particularly for apostles who have teams. If you're an apostle and you're listening on the line and you've got a ministry staff or you have teams that you're training and you want to help them understand better how they can assist you in fulfilling that commission that you have, you need to sign your class up for this course. If you sign up a class, it starts at 5 or more, we consider a class. You can get 10% off of each class member's registration to take this class. You want to make sure that you go on as an apostle. Take this course yourself as well. Part one is entirely dedicated to you, helping you understand your commission, your mandate, and the best way to fulfill that. Part two, well, with Chief Prophet Tala Price, is all about the team, helping the team with, understand how to help you with that vision. So you do not want to miss this. It's at an introductory rate right now for the entire month. It's called Building Your Commission Team. You can check that out, drpaulaprice.com. It's right there on the homepage. It's going to give you all the information. It's also featured on ppmglobalresources.com. So online is the place to be. We'll see you online after the show.
Wow. We are informed, Prophet Adia. I love it. You're a really, really funny announcer. I appreciate that. Plug in to us. Stay connected. Dr. Price, back to you.
Well, listen, I'm having a great time. First of all, we are really busy. Aren't you glad?
Yes. Busy is an understatement.
I know, right? We've been getting a good response to our commission team. It's been really great. You know, you've been increasing in our students. And I want to tell you, all of you who are apostles, you know, many of you, somebody ran by you, looked at your work, you know, and whatever, or as you were sitting there helping your leader, and somebody just ran in and said, "Thus saith God, thou art an apostle." Well, you know, you might want to know what that means. And what do I do from here? We get the phone calls all the time. This is what happened to me. What do I do next? Well, of course, we do want to encourage you to take the assessment. Definitely want you to do that. But also, we want you to go online and take this team. Now, let's say you already have I've entered it. My church knows that I'm an apostle. We all know we're going in that direction. But you could use a little help in training. Most times when you start a work from scratch, you don't have a lot of help. You don't have a lot of trainers. And then if you're doing something transitional, you still don't have a lot of help because the people have to get up to speed. Well, I've done this work for you. You can go online and say, click that, and then not only click it, but have all of your people take it. Now, you might want to click it and say, we'll do it in church as a class. But if you want to get credit for it and you want your people to know what they got and et cetera, you want them to take it individually. And then you gather in your classroom setting and discuss what they learn class by class, week to week. It's only 6 weeks. In 6 weeks, you can give your people a good step toward getting your mind onto the commission that God gave you. Well, I don't know what my commission is, Dr. Price. I don't even know what that is. Then go and take this class because that's the direction God is going. We've been saying to you, God is doing a new thing. Now we know what that thing is. Then you need to get online with the language and the methods and the strategies that he's going to use. Great. Now, and I'm telling you, you know, we're excited because, you know, Ashley, you've been working on our online school. Update us a little bit with what you're doing on our online school.
Well, the online school is buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. Of course, we just talked about the commissioning course. You are going to be next week. Huh? Next week, it's already upon us, Dr. Price. Joliet, trip for your talent leadership. After that, there will be a talent leadership mini course available online as well with complimentary information to prepare you for being successful in your leadership. It's going to talk about character, servanthood. You probably did the most powerful teaching I've heard on servanthood because you teach the power of the servant, not being the little footstool that everybody wipes their feet on, the doormat, but the actual power in a servanthood position. And, of course, the Jesus classes are going to be going up.
Aren't you excited?
Yes.
I am too.
So the school is coming along, and things are popping off here at PPM Global Resources, Kingdom Embassy University. There are so many materials, Dr. Price, and you have done so many teachings and information, and it's too rich to keep to ourselves. And so Prophet Adi is right. You are right. The interest in the commissioning course is very strong. I've gotten some calls from apostles who are going to be bringing their constituents and their fellow apostles as well as commission team hopefuls through the course to train, develop, bring that awareness, and bring definition to what they are. The greatest struggle that you've encountered, I think, with apostles is the lack of definition, and which produces the lack of identity. So, of course, you get at the root core commissioning, the purpose, and you dance. I don't want to say dance around the issue, but you also address why apostleship is kind of stalled, even in the body of Christ. That's the conclusion I walked away from is, okay, so this answers why apostleship is still largely unknown to a lot of the body of Christ.
Whew. Well, I tell you what, Ashley, I'm excited. And I don't want you to think that I missed your little jab there about the Jesus classes. You know, I caught it, you know?
Yeah, I caught it too.
So I did it to you again, didn't I? I threw you on a hook.
Yes, I have so many hooks, but you know I love them all.
But you know what? With the response that we have been getting to our teachings on the new birth, the genealogy of the God, of the Christian and the Godhead and all of those kinds of things, people need to understand where that's coming from. You know, a lot of them are sharing that information. They're tweeting it and Facebooking it, and that's great. But some of them are teaching it to their people. And so it would be good if we all got on the same page, and you can do that. Just take the Jesus classes. It's an amazing training. And I got to tell you, even as I was developing it, it blew my mind. And the Lord Jesus is in it. He will visit you in these classes. He will talk with you. He will walk you through this because this is, you know, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So anything that's going to be named right after him, it's his namesake. Jesus is all in this. So if you've been waiting for the Lord to visit you and have a move of God, listen, while you're doing your commission training, you still need to know about the commissioner. You need to know about the sender. The Jesus classes are going to help you do that. So now, Ashley, we're going to have a couple of our announcements, and then we're going to come back and take our call.
You got it. We'll be right back after these messages.
Have you ever wondered, why do I hear from God? Is what happens when I pray normal? Why do I think so differently? Is my relationship with God unusual? How do I explain my experiences with God? Does anyone else experience these things? I have so many talents, but how do I find my purpose? I know I'm called to ministry, but where do I begin? These daily questions lead to one solution. Introducing the Standardized Ministry Assessments Series. What was on God's mind when He made you? Find out how our assessments can help you uncover your greatest mystery, you. Our standardized ministry assessments consist of 800 ministry-specific questions, 114 ministry-based categories, 50 ministry classifications, a comprehensive gift analysis, fivefold office identifiers, automatic response indicators, targeted benchmark scoring, automated result interpretations, custom readiness path options, call-specific recommendations, personal ministry advisement. Is this basically a personality test? No. Your results are custom designed and not based on the traditional data used to determine your personality type or IQ. Instead, your results come from you, how you think, and what you believe, not predetermined categories into which you must loosely fit. Dr. Paula Price's nearly 25 years of research and experience see to that. How is this different from a spiritual gift test? Our assessments are not a test, and assess more than just your spiritual gift, what you are good at, and may be interested in doing for your church. We help you define your ministry calling, how ready you are to do it full-time, the type of training you need to do it well, and the best place for you to prosper whether in or out of the church. They don't just give you a number, they give you a life plan. We offer three levels of assessments. the Ministry Assessment Questionnaire, the Prophetic Aptitude Questionnaire, the Apostolic Diagnostic. So what's your ministry IQ? Discover yours today. www.drpaulaprice.com or call 877-649-PPMG.
Are you a prophet or apostle? Is your desire to help God's ministers come into their true identity and calling? Would you like to make a supplemental income while still doing what you love most, serving God as His kingdom agent? Now PPM Global Resources offers an exciting employment opportunity for apostles and prophets. We want to employ you to do what God made you to do for Him. We work in the industry of ministry and want to bring the industry to your ministry. Imagine getting paid a regular income for doing what you already do. Think about doing more than prophesying or waiting for your next preaching opportunity to fulfill your calling. Now, PPM Global has created gainful employment positions for your mantle, just like pastors and teachers have enjoyed for ages. Sign up as an affiliate agent or independent sales consultant, and you'll be able to share PPM Global's unique ministry model with your associates and colleagues, and share the revenue PPM Global gains from your initiative. Or join PPM Global's team of advisors, coaches, and mentors, and take part in shaping the next generation of fivefold ministers for Jesus Christ. Wherever you sit, you'll enjoy the benefits of collaborating with PPM Global, including a means of increasing your contacts and income without increasing your workload, the opportunity to be a gainfully employed, bona fide apostle or prophet, the privilege of shifting the church back to apostolic and prophetic leadership, and the honor of placing God's people in their right purpose and destiny. Apply today, get trained, change lives, and earn more. PPM Global Resources, explore the possibilities.
Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, host of the Paula Price Show, reminding you to revisit last week's program at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.
And we are back at the top of the hour at www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show with the one, the only, unduplicatable. Is that a word? Dr. Paula Price.
You know, you like to pick me when you do that, don't you?
I do.
You know what that does to me.
Yes, but I cannot help myself some days.
I know. But you know, I know you're doing it in love, so I'm standing on the love chip, and I know that's why you're doing it, but you like to mess with me. Well, you know, Ashley, I want to talk to our guest today, but I got an interesting request from one of my Facebookers, Calvin, who wanted to talk about an opportunity. It seems that his uncle, just sharing this with you, seems that his uncle wants him to take over a church. He doesn't want to make the decision for family reasons. He's not quite sure what God wants to do, and so he wants to do it. He had a kind of disturbing dream that was confirmed that the spouse of this uncle passed on, and so he wants to know what that means. And I'll tell you something he said, well, I'm not sure I'll get through, and I can't say whether you get through or not, because we do.
He is actually your first caller. I just wanted to interrupt you to tell you that.
Well, then put him on so we can handle this. Oh, look at you being nice.
All right. Calvin, well, you know, welcome to the show, brother. Welcome back.
God bless you. Thank you.
Well, you see, Calvin, I was going to answer you anyway because, you know, I said to God, this is a serious matter for you, and so I'm going to just get right into it. Calvin, you know, you have been on a journey for a lot of years with God, trying to find out where you fit, et cetera. Now, I want to ask you one question, and I want you to answer me quickly so I can get into my answer. If you give me too long an answer, it might slip my brain, you know, so I don't want that to happen. So tell me this. Have you ever pastored before?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I needed to know that. So, and now I'll follow it up with the part two. What have you done ministerially?
I've spoken at different churches, and I've served as adjutant at the church where I was. As there's my newsletter that I put out. There's also now it's on Facebook, the International Foursquare. That's pretty much the whole kit and caboodle.
So what is it that makes your uncle think you can take this work and go forward with it? And before you answer, tell me, how thriving is this work?
Well, when he sat me down and talked to me, his answer to that was his observation when I ministered there. He had been in prayer for a while, and he was asking God who to take over. And how thriving it is one of the reasons why he was asking me to take it over, because for 11 years, he's kind of felt like, okay, God, you sent me here to bring this ministry about, but I don't believe that I'm pastor material. So the church is still at a foundational level, in my opinion. I haven't been able to see anything further than that. It's at a foundational level. So as far as thriving, I really can't speak to that. But it is still a small congregation, and as far as the growth of the people, I'm not certain of that either.
Okay. Now, do you have a lot of young people there, Calvin?
No, not a lot of young people, no.
All right. Have you seen a pattern in my questions to you? Here's what I will tell you. I'm going to take you off the hook.
Okay,
I think the first thing is I think you need to spend some time dealing with your wife on this subject. Your wife loves you. She's a good Christian woman. She wants to do the right Christian thing. But you need to make sure she's thoroughly ready to do this, because she has a particular vision in her heart for her life that you have to resolve, because it's a conflict. That's the first thing I would tell you. Secondly, if God is going to use you, and he's going to use you in any capacity, often, not every time, but often, he puts you in a small work to see how you will handle it. So this could well be the test case for you. But let me warn you, it is a training, proving thing. God is going to test you. These people are going to test you, etc. So if you take this, this is all about apprenticeship for you.
Okay.
It's not about your end of the road in God. That I'm telling you right now, it's not that, but God is going to see how well you handle this, which is least, and can you prosper this, which is least. You're going to have a very challenging time in the locale where this work is. You're going to have to work that ground and work it a lot. But if you decide to take this, the Holy Spirit says for me to give you this instruction. Your uncle has to take his hands off it 100%.
Okay.
He cannot come back and forth. If he decides to visit, he's going to visit as a guest minister, and he's going to sit down. You're not going to let him speak for a good 18 months to 24 months, because you need his voice out of their ears.
Okay.
And you need your voice in their ears. So as much as you love him, he can be, if he's a quality minister, he's going to transition. He's going to know that these are normal principles and normal rules for transitioning out of a work and handing it over to someone else. Oftentimes, though, when you're family, they don't honor those rules. If you're going to do it, you're going to have to be adamant. I'm going to be the pastor. I'm going to be the leader. And your vision no longer works here. Now it's the vision that God gave me. So you need to be clear on how much he's really finished with this work.
Right.
My gut instinct says that he's not. That's my gut instinct. Says that he's not as finished as he thinks he is, because he doesn't know what he's going to do later. See, a lot of times, here's what I hear God saying of you, and this is not him specifically, but this is a general observation that God has given me. When pastors and leaders have worked at something for a long time and they're frustrated, they want to dump it. And you have to make sure that this is not being dumped on you, that you are being trusted with the work that God is going to let go, is leading you to do this, which you have to know, and that they are going to take their hands off it 100%. that aunt's demise in that dream has to do with her being a strong man in that work.
Can I interject here? And God bless you for what you're saying. But when you first came on, when you were talking about the aunt, it's actually his sister, my aunt, not his wife.
Yeah, okay. But this
yeah, and that has to do with the dream or whatever, if you happen to get to that. But I just wanted to make sure, you know, it was clear that it's not his wife, it's his sister, which is a part of the church as well.
Mm-hmm. And a strong man, very
yeah.
influential. That's
yeah.
the problem. Very God, that whatever that is, that's the suffocator of the work.
Wow.
So you have got to they've got to accept you as who you're going to be, and you're going to have to run with what God gave you. You spent a lot of years trying to learn God, trying to understand his way. You put a lot in there. And so if they decide that they want you to do this, this cannot be dumped as a mess in your lap.
Right.
But if you decide to take it, it doesn't make a difference. But I'm saying you need to do it, because if a person dumps it, then they don't think they're finished with it. They're frustrated. And frustrated people tend to come back to retake the reins once it's up and going.
Right.
So I would suggest that you give this a 30 more days, just 30
okay.
days, that dedicated prayer. Don't even discuss it with him any longer. God's going to answer you in that window. Give it 30 more days. In that time, deal with your house, deal with your family, because that's important, especially if this woman is the strong man and you're going to bring your wife in, then you have to decide who she's going to be in the midst of this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
right.
very important. So I would suggest you take 30 days, get the vision from God, hear from God, and make sure that this is something that they're ready to do. Because, and I'm saying this to you, but I hear that there are several more people on the line who have taken work that they thought they were being entrusted with, when in fact it was just a dump. And I would tell you, when a frustrated minister and a frustrated leader dumps something on you, that's a moment of frustration. That is not a deliberate or prudent decision, and they just want out. But once they get refreshed, once they get that, you know, the switch back, they start seeing what you do, you start getting it alive, they come back for their work. And it becomes a power play. So I would suggest, if you decide to do this, take 30 days. After 30 days, if you want to talk about it, then you can contact Prophet Ashley, and we can go on how to make this transition fruitful. But do not take this work simply because he's frustrated.
Okay.
You
okay.
take it, he knows his assignment is up. Because if he's frustrated, he's going to give you a fit when you start implementing what was different from how he founded it. So there's a whole lot to this. We tend to, because as Christians we do so many things by the Spirit, we often find ourselves not performing due diligence. You need to know what you're getting into. You need to know what you're inheriting. Are you inheriting a lot of debt? Are you inheriting a lot of tension? Is there a split brewing? You need to do, just because God is telling you it's his will doesn't mean he needs you to go in blind and crazy.
Right, right, right.
And so that's what I hear the Holy Spirit saying to you. You know, when I look in Scripture and God gives people things, he'll tell you, what did he say to Ezekiel? He's going to listen. Ezekiel, I'm going to send you in here. They're not going to like you. They don't like me, so they're not going to like you. They're hard-hearted, stiff-necked, but I'm gearing you up for this. But I need you to do it because you're going to bring the talent and the skill set that I need to at least capture what I want or deal with the issues. But he tells you what it's like. You don't have to go into something blind just because somebody told you God called your name.
Right.
So perform your due diligence and then take it to God. You know, do your little background work, but you don't need to go in and you go and find out you are yay got under debt and they're just transferring the name, transferring it off their name onto yours.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, I've experienced that a lot. You know,
wow.
And the next thing you know, you're the one that's carrying the load and you don't even know what it's all about. You don't know what happened. You don't know anything. And it could be in that state. I mean, things could be in a good state, but they can also be in disarray. Whichever it is, you have got to know from God why he's sending you in and the strategy that he's sending you in with
right.
to take this work. So don't just jump in. You know, we are so excited about being leaders and being in charge as Christians and all of that. We often walk into things blind, fall headlong in a ditch. So I would suggest that you take 30 days.
Yes, ma'am.
And at the end of 30 days, you're going to have, God is going to talk to you a little bit about it every day. And then as the time, and he's not, don't think it's just going to be verbal. He's going to bring, things are going to eke out. You're going to hear things. There are some things that are going to pop up in conversation. All of that. You just assembled that information and noted in your journal so that at the end of that time, when God wants to sit down and have that face-to-face with you so that you get his final word on the matter, you will hear him with the right ears.
Right.
So
right.
I will tell you that. I appreciate your caution because I know far too many people don't exercise that caution. And when it's all over, they're like, oh, God walked me into a mess. No, he didn't. God didn't walk you into a mess. And if God's going to walk you into a mess, I'm telling you, the Lord God of hope, Jesus the Christ, he's going to tell you, this is a mess, son, but I need you to get in it, and I'm with you. You know,
right.
It's a mess, but I'm with you. If it, otherwise, he'll say, this is not something for you to take on, or I have somebody else to do this.
Right.
So, you know, just understanding how the Holy Spirit does business and giving God credit for being wise, knowledgeable, and also well-informed on the situations that he's intervening in is going to give you a lot of advantage. So that is my word to you on the matter. I pray that it works. But the biggest issue is you are going to have to deal with your wife on this thing because even though she loves you and she's not going to fight you, understand, this thing is going to put a demand on her that you are not aware of.
Right.
And you have to make sure she's aware of it. If there is a woman for her to talk to get some counsel, fine. When I start training people for ministry and they're married, I train the family because it doesn't just happen to one person. It happens to the whole family.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you need to be aware that, you know, well, does that mean that if my wife doesn't like it, I shouldn't do it? No, man ought to obey God rather than man, but you need to know the battle you're taking on.
Right, and I appreciate and really honor God for speaking that through you because this was such a horse pill for me to swallow. I didn't even really want to tell her yet, and I haven't. And I just told her, you know, I'm waiting for the right time to tell her because I know my wife and, you know, I just know my wife, and I don't want to just blow something on her because she'll clam right up. You know, I don't even want to do that to her, you know.
And she doesn't like being on display, and this
right.
is going to put her on display. She
right.
hates that. She married you to be a good wife, you know.
Yes.
And so she doesn't like being put on display, and that's going to be a big issue for you. And there's grooming. You know, we as leaders, we have to start grooming the whole family. You just can't just groom the guy and put him in there. You have to groom the whole house. How is this going to affect your children, et cetera? That is why so many people's marriages fall apart and the kids fall off the brink because we just took the leader. We just took that skill set. We didn't remember that all of that other stuff is what this person has to go home to and deal with every day. So my wisdom to you is that you make sure, take this 30 days and make sure this is something that she can live with. And if she's willing to be trained for it and groomed, you can't just throw her in just because she's married to you. That
right.
Just because she's married to you doesn't mean she shares your expertise. Marriage
right.
does not transfer expertise. I know we do that in the church. We assume that, particularly in the charismatic church, that whether
right.
he's called, she's called, that's not necessarily so. Because she may not like the idea, but she may say to you, honey, if this is what God called you to do, fine. Now, listen, babe, I don't feel the call. I'm going to back you. Don't put me up there to make me have to do all of this because that is not me. Then you need to recognize that that's okay,
right.
whatever she is. But do not force her to pastor because you assume that your marriage license made her a pastor.
Right.
We need to stop that in the church. That's why so many marriages are dying under ministry now. So keep us posted. I'm going to pray for you. You know I'm here for you. We go back a long way.
Yes, God bless
you.
God bless you. I really, if I could interject, I'm sorry, and I'm not going to take all your time, but I have grown to really, really, and we've never met, but I've grown to love you and to love your ministry, and I thank you so much, and I try to support where I can. Hopefully one day I'll be able to support as much as I would like to. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. So I want to pray for you before you hang up, but just keep this in mind. And remember, you can go back and listen to this again, and you can play it for your wife.
Right.
All right. Father, thank you so much for this man, this young man that you've been walking along and guarding and guiding along the way. Now, Father, if this is of you, then you make it happen, and you show him what he's walking into. This whole idea that we have to walk in blind has to stop in the church because we cannot prepare ourselves. And wisdom say we prepare ourselves. So I'm asking that you would do it. And also begin to minister to his wife so that she's ready and she's prepared to do this and that she understands, particularly with the strong guards that are already established there. This is a great thing. It's a great work. They will be as capable as you make them. But if it's your will, then we know they're already equipped for it. So we thank you for doing it. And, God, I'm thanking you that you speak to this uncle and let him know, hands off from now on, and that's it. And I thank you for it all, and I bless them, God, as I bless you in this endeavor for leading them into your service. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless. You're more than welcome. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet?
Wow. I mean, that was full of wisdom on both sides, the questions that he needed to ask. But also, if anybody is listening who is a leader, thinking about handing something over to somebody else, having to determine, am I through with this or am I frustrated? That's very interesting. That's a say la 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 moment to ponder.
You know, Ashley, we don't realize it because I've had those moments. I just want to be done with it. I don't know what to do with the people, and you just dump it. But then when it's in the hand of a shepherd, you know, the Bible said David led Israel by the skillfulness of his hands. And under the hands of a skilled shepherd, it starts coming around. Then you want to lay claim to it, and you can't. And so there are some ways to do that. I also think that the other piece is, to me, the spouses. We have taught an erroneousness about ministry. You know, ministry predates marriage. The call to the ministry was long before the call to marriage. It doesn't make a difference how it turned out. And so we act like just because somebody is our spouse and they can keep our house or pay our bills, that they immediately absorb our expertise. That's impossible. Nobody thinks because you're married to a doctor, you're ready to go and do surgery. Nobody thinks because you're married to a lawyer, you're ready to go to do a trial case. Nobody thinks that. But in the church, we say it. And we have people who have other visions that are frustrated, other destinies that are shipwrecked, simply because we've got a theology that works for one or two couples. But it can't work for the masses. And I'm telling you that if God can get that thing settled, he's going to have a stronger church. But if he calls a couple, and he does, he has done that, but if he does, we have to help that whole family come in line. This is not a matter of us just pulling in the pastor or just pulling in the leader, the deacon or the elder, and ignoring that they have to go home and deal with a family. And that family needs to be brought online. I used to teach them, oh, no, sweetheart, the whole family. Because, see, you don't want the children discrediting it. You don't want your wife sitting on the front row mad, looking ugly, mad at everybody. Because you know good and well, when we as women, we're going to let you know we're mad. That's female, you know? So we mad. You don't want your husband, if you're the woman, you don't want your husband hemmed up in the corner being told that his masculinity is at risk because he's not standing up there preaching. So, you see, there's a lot that we've got to deal with in this thing if we're going to get this thing in prudent and functional order for the Lord. So I for one, think we need to stop making the marriage certificate an ordination to ministry certificate. It doesn't cover that. We need to make sure that we put the right people in the right place at the right time for the right reason and use the skill set, because otherwise we're condemning God's church to be a mess.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm ready for my next call. Who else do I have?
All right. Moving right along. There is Liz is on the line from Indiana. And Liz is calling for prayer for her boyfriend. She said that he is having quite a problem with alcohol and would like your prayers. Liz from Indiana, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello.
Hi, Liz. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Paula. I'm okay.
Oh, you're okay. Oh, no, you're not. You're depressed. You want to let me know that you're depressed and worried about your boyfriend, right? So how long have you been with this guy?
5 months.
5 months. And are you all living together?
No.
Okay, so Your 5 months now, was he drinking when you met him?
He was, but he wasn't drinking as heavily as he is now.
Well, he didn't let you know he was.
Right.
I was raised by an alcoholic father. I understand this thing pretty hefty. So 5 months, you're with a guy, and you want me to pray for a boyfriend who's alcoholic. And you know what, Liz? I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I think you can do better.
Okay.
I really do. I think that you are buying yourself a headache. And if you, in 5 months you're already this troubled, your soul is broken, you're depressed, you're frustrated, I think you can do better. And so I'm going to pray for you to do better. Because I'm going to tell you something. I tell my young women in ministry, you don't need to perhaps make your future spouse a ministry project. There are some things that don't have to be ministry projects, and you are definitely buying into one. Do you have experience with alcoholism? Do you have experience with alcoholism?
Yes, I once abused alcohol myself.
So you want to do this again? Let me tell you this, and I'll tell you this. I'm giving you the word of the Lord on this. I'm telling you right now, this I know is God. Now, I personally would not do it, but then, again, I was raised in that family, and I know what it's like. But I personally will tell you this word. You do not have to make your recovery and your gratitude about your recovery a matrimonial issue.
Okay.
You see what I mean? You're grateful that God delivered you. So you want to give back, and you give back as a professional. You don't need to give back as a spouse or a girlfriend.
Okay.
Does this make sense to you?
Yes, because I was wondering about that.
No, you don't have to give back. You can give back by volunteering. You can give back by going to pray for some people, whatever. But if God wants you to marry somebody that he's worked with, that they are delivered. He's not going to make you do that just to prove that you're grateful.
Okay. I understand.
So my suggestion to you is loose it and let it go, because leave that to the professionals. Now, if you want to be a counselor or what do you call it, an AA sponsor or something, that's fine. That's honorable. That's very respectable. But for you to do this, no. I'm telling you, this thing is going to take you down, and you're going to look around and find out why. Because you and I both know that alcoholism is a spirit.
Yes.
And you want to yoke yourself up with this spirit. So now we got 2-1.
Okay.
And you know that this thing is going to drag you down. I need to tell you, I could say all the nice things, and for those of you who are listening and you disagree, that's unfortunate. But I'm going to tell you something. We don't always have to buy our trials. So I think trials ought to be free. I don't think we need to go and hunt for them. I think they need to look us up. But I'm telling you, you deserve better, and you don't need to do this. And I'm giving you the word of the Lord. Get out while you can.
Okay.
Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for him that he gets help, that he gets the right people. But you are not the woman for the job right now.
Okay.
Father, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name for Liz. I ask God that you give her the courage. And you also finish filling out this counsel, because there are some things she needs to see you do and needs to hear you do that makes this thing once and for all. And then, God, give her the self-esteem she needs to get someone who's going to help her stay strong and walk forward. Lord, do not give this woman any more projects. Change her sphere of life. Change her existence. Change her connection. She doesn't need this. And, Lord, if she wants to be a helper, let her be a helper as a professional. And, God, I thank you for doing this in the awesome name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're very welcome. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Prophet?
Yes, yes, yes.
Are we ready?
Oh, we're ready. Is are we recovered? Okay.
You're recovering. I thought I was.
Woo! But the counsel, the point of not mistaking your gratitude or gratefulness for taking that problem on in a relationship that will ultimately take you down, that's good counsel to a lot of us. I mean, that's her situation, but how many of us have been yoked up in other things? And we're so grateful when we see an opportunity to maybe help somebody else, and then that's not how it ends up.
And you're right. And it doesn't make a difference if it's business, if it's alcohol, if it's whatever. You know, you do not have to – let me back up. I think that our give back ought to be God's decision. He knows what bound us. He knows what he did to deliver us. And he knows what will bring us back into the yoke of bondage. And there are some things, a lot of people have been brought into bondage by good deeds, you know, and well-meaning intent. You know, my mom used to say when I was growing up, the road to hell was paved with good intentions. A lot of people don't mean to end up there, but guess what? That's where we ended up. But I would say to everybody out here, especially my beloved sister that was just on the line, I would say to every one of you, you are let God utilize and God and guide and steer how you exercise your gifts and talents, because only God knows the heart and only he knows the future. So I think that's awesome. And I think she's going to do well. I think it's going to take a little bit for her to adjust, but I'm convinced she's going to do well.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Crazy.
Well, who's next?
Well, I have a special treat for you. Well, I mean, I don't really have a treat for you. They called in. But from a sunnier place, Nakai from Bermuda is on the line. And she has some updates for you, Dr. Price. Nakai, welcome to the call.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Let us lift our King up. How are you today, Dr. Price?
I am stunned to hear your voice, Nakai. This is marvelous.
Hi, Dr. Price. Dr. Price.
Hi, guys, how are you?
Well, we're doing well. Praise the Lord.
What a blessing.
Okay, so basically I have two questions that I want you to help me to understand. The first thing is this scripture. I want to know if I am appropriating it and understanding it correctly. When Jesus said, you know, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, I said, well, I'm the church. So does that mean that Jesus has already decreed that I won't be taken out, but I am going to come through triumphantly because he said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, and I am the church?
Right. Well, here's the deal. I'll tell you this. In the broadest sense, we are all the church, and God ultimately promised us the victory no matter what. So if
that is
your question, the answer is yes. But if you're talking about the corporate universal body of Christ and all of the legislations and all of the warfares and onslaughts that it faces, well, I don't know if I want to bring it down to that kind of narrowness. But you do have a promise, Nakai, that God will give you the victory and he will bring you out.
Okay. Now, this is my second question, which is going to be like a little bit of a explanation. When I first started going through my situation, I held fast to the all the sermons about Job. You know, God's bragging about you. You're doing everything right and things, you know, you're in a Job situation. I was clinging to it until I heard you preach about the Shunammite woman. And then that was it. I just knew that Shunammite woman was me. That dead child was my ministry of education here. And God had enough faith in me that I was going to have enough faith in him that he was going to be able to bring me through in victory and then I'll be able to present another crown for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, last week, met with my lawyer, went to court. Long story short, the enemies are multiplying and they are utterly lying, and I came home, closed my door, locked my door, had my little cry session, and had my little conversation with the Lord, and now what I have resonating in my spirit, it is swirling around like so much I can literally feel it, is Isaiah 6:8. And then I raised my hand, and I kind of giggled, and I said, wow, Lord, I never thought I would be one to say, okay, sign me up for the sewer duty, But if that's where you are going, I'm going, because I believe in you. I believe in God the Father, that he is all who he said he is. He will do all that he said he will do. And I believe that he will answer my prayers that I pray in faith, no matter how unrealistic they may be in this natural world. So my question to you is, was that what you call going from faith to faith to faith, or what was that?
Okay, when you say that, what are we talking about?
Well, like first I was Job, and then I was like, yeah, this is Shunammite woman, that's me, that's me, and now is Isaiah 6:8.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you a couple of things because I am familiar with your situation, and I want you to know, you know, because our my listeners don't know it all, and there's no reason, we don't even have the time to cover it. But I'm
right.
going to tell you a couple of things, and that is, when you go and take a dragon on, you are going to have to fight, and it's going to be a long fight. So at each stage, God is giving you words to get you through stage to stage. You went, anytime you go in to take on government, sweetheart, you are going to look at a long fight. You've got a whole lot of people that are in there. You've got entrenched constituents and all of those kinds of things. And you have got to you're going to take on a long fight. Now, when you take on a big thing like what you did, you know, Minister of Education, all of those kind of education things in your country, when you took that on, you took on a nation. And you are one person taking on a nation. Now, I'm not saying that you can't win. If you're talking about God took how many, 30 years to get Jesus ready to do 3. But you did not go in there ready for the long battle. You were not going in there all geared up for a protracted battle. You went in like a good missionary girl. I'm going to go in. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to help people. We're just going to get some people saved. We're just going to save this education.
And let me just interject really, really quickly. And we were also, you know, pondering and researching and meditating on manifesting our role in the Godhead and living God's kind of life. And when the situation happened, that's exactly what was going through my mind. New creation, former conduct. New creation, former conduct.
Okay. Now,
and Dimitri said, that's it. You are trying to show up as a new superpower.
Listen to me and listen. Let me tell you something. I am not one of those. I'm not a cheerleader. So let me let everybody know, I am not a cheerleader. I don't carry pom-poms. I don't flip in the air. I want you to know I'm laying foundation for us to do something, but to be understanding that we have a real enemy. We have been taught that our enemy is passive, he's toothless, he's shackled. That is a lie.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing. Listen to me. I'm going to finish this. Listen, because it's important that I gave you a wisdom that it's going to take you 3 to 5 days to let it saturate in your mind. I'm telling you, when you take on government, it is a long thing. Ask a senator, ask a politician, ask a representative. A lot of them go into these jobs with stars in their eyes, great hope they're going to make change, and find out you have to work through the system. And you cannot work through a system that you didn't learn. So I'm telling you that all of those stages that God is saying, he brought you through. Hey, this is not going to be as easy as you think. First of all, we teach Job wrong. Because
okay.
We teach Job like he was some everyday guy, and he was not. He was a political power and a chieftain in his region. And so God was not just telling Job he was a good guy because he raised his kids nice and folks were happy with him and his family loved him. He said, you were a good guy. That's what his 3 friends talked about, because he was a power in that land. And his power was broken as God chose to make an example out of him. People read the first 3 things, and they assume that Job was your everyday Christian. He was not. He was a regional leader. He would have been a governor in his day. So that's a whole different thing. So that means that we have to say we went into a situation with Job's level of expertise and endurance. Now, granted, God uses that in proportionately all of our different levels. But understand, if you want to take on government, you need to be schooled in government. You need to know how they think. You need to know the political system, because these people are good at what they do. They are soldiers of the state. And we forget that. And so that's the first thing I'm going to tell you. The second thing I'm going to tell you is, when God's saying send you, be very careful, because you're still a single woman trying to take on an institution, trying to take on a faith. That is a big deal. I would suggest, my thoughts are this, I would suggest all of these spiritual things are fine, but I tell everybody, you need to put some faith, works behind your faith. Learn how to do it. In the end, you are not going to win this war until you win over some people. And if the, and you have to win over somebody. Somebody's got to take up your cause. I always teach, when I teach my leaders, I teach that you cannot go to the next level until somebody from that level comes down to get you. That
right.
is the rule of promotion. So I want to tell you, all of those slogans are great. All of those, I snatched this scripture, that fits. I took this. But in, when it's all said and done, and I would love for you to sit with our prophets and let us work out this strategy for you, because you cannot go into a political or a natural battle with only spiritual strategy. God may have given Israel spiritual strategies, then he told them tactically what to do. So if you have spiritual strategies, you're going to need earthly tactics.
Yeah.
I don't know that you have those.
Okay,
so
but I will let you know that the prayers of the prophets, and when I was there, you know, we've been praying over it. The boys and I, you know, the only ones, me, Dimitri, and Darian seem to be the only people in Bermuda who believe God is God. Anyway, we've seen the changing of the guard. We've seen the changing of the authorities in this situation. We are experiencing great grace and favor. However, we are still calling forward that advocate. That advocate has still not shown up and made themselves known to us. However, my whole thing is, they are wanting me to sign a legal document saying that I did something that I did not do. And to me, that's a lie, and it's not the truth, and that affects my integrity and all of that, my character, everything.
Well, here's what I want you to say. First of all, I wouldn't sign any document that wasn't true. But I will tell you this. I want to say something. There is no such thing that God only has three people in a full nation who believe he's God. I'm not going to accept that.
But I keep asking them, where are they? But we haven't found them.
That's okay. Well, you, just because you didn't find them doesn't mean that they don't exist. You have to say, you act like God abandoned the nation, and he didn't. But I want to pray for you that God continues to give you the grace to stand. That's the first thing I'm going to do. And begin to increase the wisdom to act and to know what he's doing in this situation. But I'm telling you, when you go to take over anything in a nation, you have got to be geared up for a long battle, because there are a lot of people have a vested interest in keeping things the way they are or pushing their own agenda. That's just the future. So I'm going to pray for you. Father, thank you. Lord God, thank you for Nakai. Thank you for her blessings. Thank you, Lord, for her journey. And thank you for our long fellowship. Now, God, I'm asking that as you continue to work this out behind the scenes, that you endow them with the grace and the strength and the fortitude they need to stand, having done all to stand there for. God, we back down every uncleanness. We back down every enemy and every adversary of your child. I back them down, bind them up in the name of Jesus. But, Lord, she needs some strategy, and she needs someone to walk her through this and to see this thing through your eyes. However way she might be not viewing it, God, I'm asking that you visit her to give her the right vision and the right sight on this thing, that she can come to the right conclusions. God,
amen.
I thank you to take the spirit of alienation and isolation away from her, and God, surround her with intercessors and others that can help her work through this and fight this battle for the victory. Lord, we still stand as your church claiming the victory in this situation for her and her sons in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
And may God bless
you.
You
too, Dr. Price.
Okay.
Dr. Price.
Bye-bye, guys. What a blessing. What a blessing, Prophet.
It's like a family reunion.
I had them all on the phone, too. Wasn't that great?
Giants. Their boys are giants.
I'm sure they are. I am sure they are. You know what? I really thank God for them, because, you know, watching them grow up has been wonderful. But I would say, you know, anytime we often get a call, and we often get a call out of you know, out of what we are doing and what we call God tells us to do. But we always understand, we hear the call from what we're going to do. We don't ever hear the call from what's waiting for us. There's a reason why God is sending us into a situation. It exists. It's launched. He's sending us in to dislodge something. If you're going to dislodge anything, you're going to face resistance. And I would love for the saints to expect resistance and prepare for it. Prepare to win. But don't walk in there thinking you're not going to get hit back. I mean, who in the world would go into a prize fight and say, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to punch him to the left, punch him to the right, three uppercoats, couple of jabs, and I'm out. That's fine. But what is he going to do, stand there and say thank you? Not in a title fight. You know, and so I would like to say to all of our saints, answer your ministry with prudence. Answer your ministry and your call to ministry with prudence. Expect that you are going to have an attack and counterattack. Plan that. You know, we told you that it's up to God to fight your battles. Well, that's fine, but God still moves through people because that's what Satan moves through. So God could be fisticuffing devils all day long. Do you know it? No, you don't know. But that doesn't mean that you don't have to fight the battle on your turf. There's going to be backlash. There's going to be retaliation. There's going to be defenses. I would say to every one of you all, let's change our mode of doing this, our modus operandi. Let's begin to battle like we know our enemy doesn't want us to win. Let's not go in there and do make this a peaceful sit-in. You know, you're going to just, even people who do a sit-in, you can get your head boxed in. People are going to hit you. They're going to throw things at you, et cetera, whatever it is. But prepare for resistance and then find out how God wants you to counter that resistance. And running away home with your tail between your legs is not always an option because that might be the only thing God has for you to do, or that might have been the training step to the next level. So we have to get good at this. Please hear me. This is a real battle. And we're not going to just walk in and waltz in and take it. If we do, it's because we prayed for years and somebody else battled it, and now we're entering it. But this takes preparation. And nothing in Scripture showed us that people entered into their inheritance without a fight. Nothing in the Old Testament says it. Nothing in the New Testament says it. If there is a battle, but that's how to the victor goes the spoil. If there wasn't something to be victorious over, that wouldn't even be in Scripture. Prepare for resistance, and then prepare counter-strikes and counter-attacks, and then prepare to win. Know your enemy. Find out how they've been winning, how they've been doing it, and then find out how God wants you to counteract that for you to take that land or take that situation for his glory. Hallelujah. What do you think, Ashley? Does that make good sense to you?
It does. And Dr. Price, I just want to say on behalf of everybody who has lit up my inboxes, you are too hot to handle today. I'm getting back.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm just thankful. I got a wonderful Facebook from the woman that just called in, and she thanks me for giving her the question about the boyfriend. And she said, with God's help, I'm going to be free.
Amen.
With God's help. Isn't that wonderful to get that quick response?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Well, we have time for one more caller. I'm having fun today. You know, I love doing this on Thursdays, and I'm going to keep saying it. And, guys, if you want to write me down at being semi-mushy, write semi-mushy because I love you guys. I love you, and I want you to win. I do this every week because I want you to win. I'm committed to your victory, but I'm not going to give you some delusional doctrine to make you a twofold child of failure. I want you to win, and we've got to be honest about what it takes to win. And it's not just sitting on the side of the road. It's not locked in your prayer closet. It's not running down the aisle, spinning around with banners and carrying on. All of those are kind of preparations. But when it's all said and done, you have to do one of two things. You're going to have to roll up your arms and roll up your sleeves and get in it, or you're going to have to pull out your weapons and fight to get in it. But either way, winning is not magical. Winning takes work. And do not ask God to grant you anything that you're not willing to work and war for, because it takes both. Now, I'll take my last caller, Ashley, if you know it's a quick one.
Woo! Yes, I believe it is. Twofold child of failure. You heard it here first, folks. Okay. We have on the line Naisha from Georgia. And Naisha is calling because she's a prophet in her church, Dr. Price, and she needs some understanding of the office and what it's all about. Naisha, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello, Apostle Price. This is Naisha.
Hi, Naisha. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, you know I'm excited. You hear me, don't you? Hey, I'm on fire.
Yes, you're pumped up.
I really am. I have
Amen.
To put some weights on my anchor myself down. I'm ready to take off.
I know. I love it. It's electrifying.
Oh, glory to God. So where are we going with you today? What do you want me to talk about?
Basically, just to understanding what type of prophet I am, because, like, I just feel like it's like ministry that's just pumping inside of me. Like a week ago I had a dream. It wasn't even visual. It was just audio. Like I just, in my spirit, all I heard was ministry. So I'm excited about that. But it's just to understand, like, what type of prophet I am. You know, I am. I'm a little nervous. And just prayer on clarity, and that's it, prophet.
Well, but you know, you called to the right person, Naisha, because guess what I have? I have a trusty assessment to tell you exactly that. So I'm going to,
No, yes.
Okay, so I'm going to encourage you to, when we hang up, go to my website, drpaulaprice.com, and say, I want to take this prophet's assessment, or whichever one is there. I think there are two of them now. You want to know about a prophet. Now, let me just, before I send you there, let me ask you a question. How do you know you're a prophet?
I knew from young. It was prophesied to me, and I respond to the Holy Spirit. He talks to me. So from young, I knew I was a prophet.
Okay, then you can go online and take, it's called the PAQ. If you are convinced you're a prophet, and take it. And now here's what's going to happen. It's going to give you a ton of information, and you will not be confused about your prophetic after you receive your results. The beautiful thing about it is that it also comes with an advisement with one of our advisor prophets. They're going to talk to you about your results, walk you through it, and give you a readiness plan, a training plan to get you ready to strengthen your prophetic so that you're solid about it, identity, et cetera. I am proud of you for calling and asking that because so many people just assume. But you are fighting for your thing, but you show that you want to get it right and you want to do it right. So don't let go. Don't hang up and say, gee, that was great. Go to my website, drpaulaprice.com, and say, I want to take this assessment, and it's going to take you to my assessment site, and you're going to click PAQ, since that's what you are, already know you are, PAQ. And when you do, you're going to take that assessment. It's going to bounce back to us. We're going to give you an opportunity to schedule an advisement, a post-assessment advisement. You're going to get to talk to one of our prophets. Might be Prophet Ashley, Prophet Adia, who you've heard. Might be some of our other people, but you'll get a chance to do that. And then they will offer to work with you to help you build up a plan for getting good at what you do that is based specifically on who you are as a prophet. And that's the best thing about this tool. So that's my recommendation to you. I'm excited about it. I will tell you that God is going to deal with you more in dreams and visions because there are some things that he is awakening in your faculty. So you can expect that. Make sure you write them all down. Don't just remember them. Write them all down. That's a very good discipline for a prophet to develop anyhow. Keep your journal of all of your dreams and write them all down. So that's my word to you. Now, is there something else before I pray?
That's it.
Okay, then I'm going to pray. How's that?
Amen.
God, I thank you for Naisha. God, and I thank you for all of the prophets that are coming up and waking up and entering your service. Lord, I'm asking that they fall in good hands, under good mentorship, that they get good training and good tools. And, Lord, not training just on what you've done, but what you plan to do with them. And, God, training that fits their uniqueness. I'm asking that they would get quality mentors who understand this thing and who are sensitive and attentive to them. them. And, Lord, I thank you for every one of them taking that assessment so that they don't have to do what we did, launch out blind, not knowing who's who, and vulnerable to everything that comes along and vulnerable to being victimized in the spirit on this thing. So I ask you to cover her. Connect her with the right people. Connect her with the right mentors, the right leaders. Put her with the right company, God, so that you can get mileage out of this one and use her way, way, way into the future. And, Lord, that she can be used confidently as well as competently in Jesus' omnipotent name. And, Father, we bless you for it. Amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you, beloved. You're welcome. Keep me posted.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet Ashley.
Dr. Price.
Well, listen, you gave me 6 more minutes. What am I going to do with my 6 minutes? Because you know, usually I can get a call that'll be quick, but I'm going to get the one that's going to need 3 trips.
Actually, so, I don't think so. I have one more person. She doesn't even realize how she got in the queue, but she says maybe Dr. Price just needs to say a prayer for me, and that's it.
Well, put her on. Let's do it right quickly.
All right. Cassandra from Florida, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
I'm here.
Hello, Cassandra.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm
and
doing
you're
great.
From Florida.
Yes,
you're
ma'am.
You're from Florida, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I'm jealous. Gosh, I'm
jealous. I'm actually from Alabama, but I moved here to Florida about 8 years ago, so it's going.
It's going, huh? Well, Cassandra, I'm going to say a quick prayer for you, and I'm going to pray by the Spirit that God will if you call for. God, I thank you for this. First of all, Lord, thank you for her education and training. The number one thing I'm going to do is bless you, God, for her education and her training. And then, Lord, I'm going to ask that you would give her the connect her spirit to the voice that you've given her to speak out into your world, to speak even into your kingdom, God, to give her the wisdom for the situations that she's counseling. Lord, she's got a strong spirit of counselor on her. So I'm asking that you would give her the wisdom and the training. Give her a hunger for your word. She needs to get into that Bible, that voracious appetite for your word. And then, God, I'm asking that you would increase her devotion to you. This woman needs to have that next level of visitation with you, Father. So I'm asking that you would do that in the name of Jesus. I bless her economy. I bless her children. I bless her home and her family. And I thank you, Lord, that you cover her by your blood. And, Lord, hide her from the judgment that the enemy would like to bring down on her. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. Did I hit any of it, girl? Because we only got 4 minutes. You can't tell me the whole story.
Yes, ma'am.
God bless you, Cassandra. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Did you see I did it in, what, a minute and a half, Ashley?
You handled it. You handled it like a champ.
I did. Well, sad to say, we're coming to the end of another Thursday show. What are we going to do, huh? Well, what we're going to do is remind
you. We'll have to do it again next week.
Okay. Are you going to be here? Because I'll be here.
Oh, yes. We'll be here together.
Well, actually, we're going to do it from Joliet.
Oh, that's true. But we'll still be together.
Okay, we'll still be together. All right. Well, but here's, I want to encourage all of you all, Facebook me, tweet me, link me in, and let's just stay connected. Go to our online store, get those resources. Hey, obtaining resources means you've resolved to fight for your victory. So get those resources. Gear yourself up. Power up, as they say, and get ready to do great things for God. I will meet you again next Thursday. Love you much. Stay in touch with me this week. I love hearing from you. Do that for me. God bless.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.
Hi, This is Dr. Paula Price thanking you for joining me on this week's show. I want to remind you that the counsel and wisdom, the prayer and prophecy that you enjoy today does not have to end with today's program. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show and join tens of thousands of people who re-listen to my program every week. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can relive the experience every single day. God bless you.